Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And we're off and going. It's Tuesday, and we have a live edition of the Hoosier Report for you, as we do each weekday, 11 a.m., right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad you're with us. Tuesdays are always fun. We'll go through the guest lineup here in just a moment, but you know Greg Doyle from the Indianapolis Star will be with us. You never know exactly how that conversation is going to go. Always fun. He'll be with us later, and some other things as well. Don't forget, tonight starts a long week at the ballpark for us. Always fun to be out. The Little League Baseball in the area, the District 5 tournament coming to a close later this week, and we've got semifinal games every night. We have two semifinals tonight in the 11-year-old division of Little League Baseball. We have 10-year-old semifinals coming up later in the week, 12-year-old semifinals as well. And then on Friday, we'll do our best to cover three championship games, the 10s, the 11s, and 12s, as much of each game as we can. They're kind of on top of each other. One starts at 5:30, the other at 6:30, and then another later on at 8 o'clock, but we'll do our best. So a lot of youngsters getting on the Big X this week, and it's always fun to see who is going to come out of the district and go on to the state tournament and represent this area. New Albany has had a strong hold on things for a number of years, but Jeff GRC, as 11-year-olds, they not only won district but made a run all the way to the state championship game, coming in as runner-up. They will be a big challenge for New Albany in the 12-year-old division, so very likely Friday we should see a couple New Albany versus Jeff rivalry games with that district title on the line. It'll be a lot of fun. The ballpark is new. Of course, the entire park out there, right out Charlestown Road behind Northside Church, it opens on Saturday. That's where Romeo Langford Court is at. I went by yesterday. They've begun to paint the court. They had the red sidelines on, and we'll be painting the blue on the rest of the court today, adding the stencils and signature of Romeo and a few other details to the court here coming up the rest of the week. And then, of course, that park opens, as I said, Saturday. There'll be some games on that court Saturday. We'll talk about that some later in the week as well. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. As I mentioned already, Greg Doyle, sports columnist for the Indianapolis Star. He will join me in segment two today, as he always does on Tuesdays. Later in the hour, we will be joined by Stu Jackson, a guest that's been with us before, but a very guy that's very knowledgeable on IU basketball and especially recruiting, which is a hot-button topic this time of year. Stu is with the Hoosier.com, part of the Rivals Network, and he will check in to talk some IU hoops in the second half of the show today. Look forward to talking with him. It's been a while, but glad to welcome him back to the Hoosier Report today. That's a look at the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. You can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news, and a big one coming out that's still very, very early in the reporting on this, but Pat Forty and Pete Thamel and Dan Wetzel, some of the best in the business that have been all over this college basketball scandal now that broke really with Louisville back in the fall before the college basketball season. Just in the 10 o'clock hour, so right before we came on, a story out that the University of Kansas has acknowledged that it has been subpoenaed by the federal government as part of the ongoing federal college basketball investigation. This was according to a response to a public records request that was put into Kansas. A lot of things up in the air here, a lot of details that are still real, not clear, let's put it that way, as far as what this could mean, but some of it ties into a player that also was involved with the Maryland deal that we mentioned last week, and of course more came out on that, obviously, since we spoke, but this will be interesting. There's no damning evidence right now that says Kansas is in the middle of a huge mess, but obviously they're the flagship Adidas program, one of the major schools with lots of success to wear that brand, and it will be interesting to see as public records are handed over and as they look into whatever it has them looking into Kansas, what exactly the details are and how serious this is or maybe isn't. There have been multiple times in this investigation where a school has been subpoenaed or, you know, there's been that they're looking into this or that and then not much comes out of it, or at least it hasn't yet. So just because it's you hear that someone is subpoenaed or wants records, it doesn't necessarily mean anyone's guilty. But obviously there's a reason and something that they're looking for. So we'll probably talk some more about this today. But obviously, that's something to keep an eye on as this investigation quietly continues in the offseason. Not a lot of public announcements about it, not a lot of arrest or big press conferences like there were coming right out of the gate, but obviously something that I know a lot of schools out there probably have not been able to get off of their minds since all this initially broke back before the college basketball season. A couple other headlines. This is a really good one. Sharon Wilkerson, former Jeffersonville standout, former Mr. Basketball, obviously former IU player. He was named last night as the boys basketball coach at Shaw Memorial, which is a 1A high school in Madison, Indiana. They had a press conference last evening to introduce him. Obviously, Shaw Memorial, a school that's not noted for its tradition in basketball. Over the years, at times, they've had some decent talent and some decent teams that have been competitive in their class. But hiring someone like Sharon, that's a big name for a school like that. And he's someone that comes in with a lot of experience. He's been working for Joe Luce at Jeffersonville the last number of years. And for those that know Sharon personally, you know some of the challenges that he has been through really since his days as a high school and a college player, where maybe he had some incidents that weren't so fortunate that he maybe wishes didn't happen. But since that point, Sharon has been on a mission to really do things the right way and to teach some of his lessons to the younger kids. And I know he's been big with the development of the Jeff program under Joe Luce, and I think that this is a great starting spot for him. I don't call it an ending spot for Sharon, but this is one of the headlines that you smile when you talk about, because Sharon, very deserving of an opportunity to lead his own team. He's put in a lot of miles, a lot of hours over the years, coaching at spots that some people wouldn't coach at for pay that really doesn't even come close to being worth it. But an opportunity now for Sharon to lead his own program, and it'll be interesting to follow him. I'm sure that he'll get those guys going, and with in regards to what the school has, do the best that he can. And obviously a big hire for Shaw Memorial, and kudos to them for thinking outside of the box as far as the hire with Coach Wilkerson goes. So congratulations to him. One of the things that, again, a good story and something that will be fun to follow and see if he's able to build that program up. A few other things, recruiting notes, rankings coming out. You see a lot of rankings updated just before the July period. Most recently, there were some rankings out from both Rivals.com and 24/7 Sports updating their class of 2020. At Bloomington South, Anthony Leal, he's number 94 now. He breaks into the top 100. He's going to be a name to follow closely through July. He was ranked number 94, I should say, by 24/7 Sports. Number 122 by Rivals, Culver Academy's guard Trey Galloway. He comes in at number 108 on the 24/7 Sports rankings, number 81 on Rivals, and locally, Jeffersonville's Trey Coleman is number 123 on the 24/7 Sports rankings of the top 150 in the 2020 class. So good to see some local guys and some guys from in the state moving up the national rankings. And, of course, Trey Coleman has picked up some offers. He's really made some improvements to his body. Just a bigger guy, no question about it, if you've seen him. He really has picked up some muscle mass and will be interesting to follow him into the next high school season. He's somebody that, as we talk about players that are going to get tracked very closely in July, he's someone that is definitely on the upswing. He's got some offers. He had one a year ago from New Orleans. He got the big offer from Nebraska back after the high school basketball season came to a close. He got an offer remember when Jeffersonville was at team camp up at Indiana State, and he's somebody that when you get offers like that from Nebraska down to mid-majors, you're going to be on a lot of radars this July. So he will be, no question about it, a player that's getting a lot of looks this month. And if he plays well and does what he's capable of, very likely could add a number of scholarship offers to his list as well. Myron Medcalf of ESPN took a look at some of the teams in his way too early top 25, including a number of teams who are on the outside looking in. Here's what he wrote about Indiana. Quote, Indiana is a team that lost to Rutgers in the first round of the Big Ten tournament, worthy of a top 25 spot after adding a five-star phenom. Maybe. But the Hoosiers made just 32% of their three-pointers and 66% of their free throws. Major problems for an offensive unit that finished in the 90s in efficiency. Lankford is a star. He changes the dynamic of this program. The Hoosiers, however, might need some time to develop chemistry and commence their critical work on some of their glaring offensive challenges. Interesting write-up from Myron Medcalf on Indiana for this upcoming season. That's a look at the headlines for this Tuesday edition of the program. The headlines are presented each day by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Don't forget, you can stop by Hoopster's on Wednesdays. This is tomorrow. You can buy 3 or 6 traditional or boneless wings. And when you buy 3 or 6, you get 3 or 6 free at Hoopster Sports Grill every Wednesday. So make plans today so you can be available tomorrow to stop by Hoopsters in Jeffersonville. We'll be at the ballpark tonight for Little League Baseball. A game one of our doubleheader is on at 5:30 tonight. Game two will be at 8 o'clock. Lee Kelly, Tom Wendt will join me. It'll be a night of fun at the ballpark. We hope you'll tune in and catch the play-by-play coverage here on the Big X. To a commercial break we go. We'll return with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing, coming up next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back, and Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star joins us, as he does every Tuesday here on the Hoosier Report. Our segment with Greg is presented by Coffee Crossing, and they would like to recommend you try their new breakfast and expanded lunch menus at their sister company, which is 410 Bakery and Cafe, located in downtown New Albany. Greg, when I read your columns each day, or most every day, at IndyStar.com, I never quite know if I'm going to learn something completely new, if I'm going to wind up crying, or if I'm going to come away laughing. And your story on the ABA tryouts, of course, for people that don't know, there's still an ABA league that exists. Coming back to Indianapolis, you attended the tryout, and there was one player that showed up for the tryout, paid the $100 tryout fee. Interesting story. You made something that really has not caught on, I think, the way that the ABA had hoped. They had a team in Louisville maybe a couple different times, but at least one time actually named the Kentucky Colonels, playing off the old school ABA team that obviously was successful in Louisville. Hadn't caught on like maybe they hoped it would, but interesting story nonetheless.
I went there to this tryout to – I did not go to this tryout to make fun of anybody. You know, I didn't go to be mean or to mock whatever was happening. I suspected I was going to see something humble, and that's why I went. Like, what kind of dreamer shows up and thinks you can play semi-pro basketball and you got to pay $100 just to try out? What I saw was so incredibly humble that I was struggling. Like, I'm not sure how to write this without it looking really bad. And again, I didn't go there to make anybody look bad, but I mean, one person showed up to try out, and he didn't play high school basketball and actually didn't even graduate. He got his GED. They were pulling in guys who were just there to warm up, just like gym members. They were pulling them in. Hey, can you work out with us? We need bodies. I mean, it was it's the damnedest thing. And the ABA's owner is mad at me. He's been emailing me and ripping me and mad at what I wrote. And I mean, I wasn't trying to be mean to anybody, but my goodness, it was hard to imagine. What I'm watching is, and then a couple guys that tried out for the team a week or two earlier and made it simply because they need bodies. I mean, I'm not sure they're going to have enough bodies to fill a roster, but basically, if you show up and try out and pay $100, you're on the team. And so a couple of them showed up as this workout went on, and I swear I was watching a lunchtime businessman pickup game at the Y. I mean, that's what it was. But they're going to play professional basketball, even though they're not going to get paid. But I guess, you know, if you call it pro basketball, you are pro basketball. It was touching to watch these people with their dreams. And one kid says one of the guys that made the team last week says that he hopes to pay for his sister's college education. They live in Chicago. You know, it's never going to happen. But you don't tell a dreamer that your dream can't happen. You just don't do it because who the heck knows?
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Yeah, definitely didn't know which direction that would take when I read it, but very interesting nonetheless. And again, the team in Louisville, I think they left the city with some unpaid bills and some situations that didn't work out very nicely. But such is life in, I guess, minor league professional basketball.
Yeah, and this league has 150 teams or something. I mean, it's weird. It's got like four continents, 150 teams, and they call themselves the ABA. And I go to their website, and I mean, if I wanted to make fun of somebody, believe me, there was material there. Their website, they spend more time talking about Julius Erving and Dan Issel and, you know, all these great ABA players. All they've done is appropriated the name. You know, they've paid whatever money you got to pay or asked for permission to ask. They've called themselves the ABA. You know, I can call myself Brad Pitt. I'm not Brad Pitt. I've never been Brad Pitt. I'll never be Brad Pitt. So it's a little bit unusual. And I don't like hearing what you just said. They left unpaid bills. The founder of the ABA, I looked him up, and I chose not to write about this. And, of course, he's mocking me today in emails, so maybe I should have. But I looked him up, and he's had a lot of – there's a lot there, that's all I'm going to say. There's a lot there I could have used if I wanted to. So sometimes you take the high road, and after it's all said and done, you kind of wish you'd gotten in the gutter because maybe people deserved it, but whatever.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing, is our guest now. Basketball is crazy this time of year with all the recruiting stuff that kicks off for the D1 coaches on the road later this week. Actually, tomorrow, I think, is the first day in this opening window that they can actually be out at some of this stuff. You went to a great event, which could take on a lot more importance in the future as far as Division I coaches attending, as the IBCA underclassmen workout, and you got an opportunity to see Damon Bailey's son.
Okay, tell me real quick. So I noticed a bunch of coaches walking around, but they were all wearing, like, University of Chicago and St. Thomas More and, you know, little bitty schools. And I'm thinking, well, where's the D1 schools? So what you're saying is the D1 window is different from the D2 and below window?
Yeah, D2, and again, this is just to the best of my knowledge, D2 and D3 and NAI and junior college pretty much within reason can watch games when they want. And I'm sure that's not 100% correct. There probably are some windows, but the first of three – 5-day windows for coaches to be out is Wednesday of this week, Wednesday through Sunday at like 5 p.m., I think.
Okay. Yeah, and I was there to see – there's a handful of names that I thought were intriguing. And you know who I really like, by the way, and it's not quite where you're neck of the woods, but it's down south, Colton Sanford of Evansville.
Yep.
You know, did New Albany play that team?
Let's see here. His brother was at Wrights, and he went to – He's surprisingly not at Wrights. Is he at Evansville North, I think? Yes,
yeah,
they
Sanford's
did.
And, Evansville North. And did New Albany play North?
Yes, and beat him badly, but he was the one bright spot. And then, of course, that North team that New Albany decimated ended up putting it together under a young coach, a good coach, Jason Roach, and ended up getting to the regional. They won a Evansville sectional, a 4A sectional that was kind of wide open, and he was a huge part of that.
Yeah, obviously I'd seen him play somewhere because I saw him playing yesterday, and I just really like him. He's a little bitty guy. He's 5'7". He probably plays 180. I mean, if we're talking MMA, we'd say you need to drop a few weight classes. Your body needs to be a little bit smaller. But he's got quick little feet, and he's fun to watch. And anyway, he was teammates with Brayton Bailey, and Brayton is Damon's son. And I went there specifically to see Brayton and just to talk to him and talk to his dad if I could. And just what is it like to be you, to be Brayton Bailey in this state? I mean, kids play the sport their father plays. LeBron James's kid is playing. He's going through it nationally in a way that sort of like what Brayton's going through in this state, because in this state, Damon Bailey is LeBron, or at least he was. And I just can't imagine having the choice to play other sports. And apparently Brayton was great at football. A little tailback would have been really good, even better than he is in basketball. And in basketball, he's been all conference, Hoosier Hills Conference, twice in a row. But why are you playing basketball, A, and B, why are you wearing your dad's number? talk about is like the whole crowd is just a bull out there, and you're just waving red at him. And he's very impressive and very mature and very humble, just like his dad. I spent 20 minutes watching the game with his dad, and I cannot believe Damon Bailey's for real, but he is apparently. I've heard he's humble for years. This is the first time I've ever talked to him. He's unbelievable. I mean, one time he was in high school, and he didn't tell me this, I just know this. One time he was in high school, and a man walked onto his front yard and grabbed some grass and ran away. Just stole grass from Damon Bailey's front yard, because that's how famous he was. And yet he's as rock solid and down to earth as you can possibly be, and even more than I am. And I've not done anything in my life. It's really remarkable. So, yeah, his son's a chip off the old block, very impressive kid. Not sure he'll play D1. I wouldn't be surprised if he walks on at IU. No one's telling me that, but I just wouldn't be surprised. But he's going to have some smaller school offers, I bet.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, joining us. Speaking of recruiting and some of these showcases and events that are getting ready to start for coaches to be on the road, one player, and I've not seen him play, I don't know that you have either, but one player, and I had a good conversation about this player with Zach Osterman on Monday's show, but one player that really has kind of caught my attention, not just from a IU perspective, but from being one of the top guards in the country in the 2019 class, is Iowa five-star guard DJ Carton. The more I read about that kid, and some of the local papers out in Iowa have done some stuff on him with his recruiting exploding, and he's not had offers from North Carolina or Duke, and they may not come at this point because I think he's trying to end this process sooner rather than later and announced his final three, which Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio State make up that final three. The more you learn about the kid and his coach and his family, seems like a really, really good situation, really good people. So I'm curious about him, and I think you are too.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the top point guards in the class. It's kind of weird that he's not being recruited by some of these other schools, but some of these schools that you're mentioning are going pretty much only for one-and-dones now. We want guys that we know are going to leave us in 1 year for the NBA, and 6'2", or however tall he is, 6'2" point guards typically don't turn pro for 1 year, so he's not going to Duke maybe. But I'm intrigued by him for Archie Miller's standpoint, because Miller has, and he got Hunter out of Ohio, but Miller has, I mean, he's only been here 1 year, but he's thrown a net around the state, and he hadn't gotten everybody, but he might have gotten everybody he wanted. I know Purdue's getting a lot of good ones too, but Archie's getting the ones he wants, including, of course, Romeo. And I'm not surprised he's doing that, but there's not going to be enough high-level players in Indiana. And I mean high-level, like if you're going to be a Final Four team, I'm not sure you can just have just an in-state roster. So you're actually going to go out of the state and take players from other people's backyards and to maximize Romeo and everybody else. And DJ Carton's in Iowa, a Big Ten footprint, and Archie's in the Final Three, and I was not even in the Final Three. Apparently it's Michigan and Ohio State. So Archie's in the mix with two other Big Ten schools for a guy that's not in Indiana. And he's not going to win all these battles. But this is an important one, and it's kind of like when he won Romeo. It's like, whoa, okay, this guy's serious. He's going to get great talent in the state. So that's been established. Now let's see, can you go out and steal a guy from Iowa's backyard? That'd be pretty impressive. And they're in there, they're in the running, and they got Fennessy coming in. So I guess great players aren't afraid of competing, but that's interesting. They're in the Final Three 1 year after having Fennessy.
Absolutely. Talking with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. Greg, final question for you. I haven't seen a ton of NBA Summer League play. I've tried to keep up with how the IU guys are doing. I've tried to keep up with some Pacer stuff in the Summer League. But I know one thing, if the few bits I've seen and some of the highlights I've seen, boy, Jaren Jackson has looked really, really good so far in Summer League play. How much stock do you put into the Summer League, whether it's from the Pacers side of things, seeing what they have for the future, or it's someone that could be a top-level pro like Jaren Jackson getting off to just a fabulous start?
Well, I don't know much about this year's Summer League team, but I'm glad Jaren's the guy you're asking me about, and he's from Park Tudor, because he's the guy I've really noticed. I don't put a lot of stock in Summer League, but if you're going to be really good, you better dominate. And dominating doesn't mean you're going to be really good. I mean, I'm watching ESPN, the ticker runs across, and some guy scored 40, and I've never heard of that guy. And I probably never heard of him again, and he tied the record set by somebody else I've never heard of 3 or 4 years ago. So dominating the Summer League doesn't by itself mean you're going to be great in the NBA at all. But if you struggle there, that doesn't say much. And Jaren Jackson is not struggling there, and he's hitting threes. His games have come and gone. He's had one game where he had like 5 or 6 points. He had one game where he had 8 of 13 threes, I think, and he's blocking shots. And you know, he's a guy that he's only 18 years old. I mean, he's a college freshman, played as a freshman, hadn't even turned 19 yet, and he's still growing into himself. And he's whatever he is, whatever he's going to be. We're not even close to. I mean, not even close. Because physically, he's not even a man yet. He's not even close to that. He's a slow developing. I mean, he's like a baby colt. You can tell. You're going to be a Thoroughbred someday, but right now you're still struggling to walk. And he's going to be really, really good. I'm not sure as a rookie how good he'll be, just because again his body's still changing on him. But man, in about 3 or 4 years, terrifying. Like you can look at him and see Anthony Davis level stuff, and they're not identical players, but you can see him becoming an Anthony Davis level star in about 4 years.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, as you were answering that final question, I went on to the ABA website. I clicked on Reserve a Market, and I put you and I down to Reserve Southern Indiana. So I didn't say a price, but when we get the price, we're going to go in business together, and I'll be back with you all the detail. We'll get Alan Butts at Coffee Crossing involved too. He'll be our silent partner.
I was going to say that'll be the Jeffersonville Coffee Crossings. I don't know why not. I know that you know a few players from New Albany. I've seen the quality of play. I bet we could take some guys that almost made the team in New Albany and do pretty well in that league.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, always fun. Great to catch up to you, and I'll talk with you again next week.
All right, good, Matt. Bye.
We will head to a commercial break. We'll come back and talk some IU basketball. I think we'll sprinkle in a little IU football as well with Stu Jackson of TheHoosier.com, part of the Rivals Network. He joins us to talk DJ Carton. I know we've talked a lot about him this week, but he really is becoming a primetime prospect, potential target for IU. We'll talk about the recruiting period and some of the tournaments that you'll likely see the IU coaches spend the most time in this first open window, and again, a little football as well. So stay with us for that coming up next on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back and joined by Stu Jackson of Indiana Rivals. You can read Stu and his team's work at TheHoosier.com. And Stu, before we even get into basketball, a football and a baseball topic I want to bring up with you this morning. And first off, Athlon Sports. They predicted IU football to qualify for a bowl game this season. I think they even projected it to be Wake Forest, and you can tell me the bowl name, I forget, but that's good news. At least other people on a national level predicting IU qualify at least for a bowl game.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always good when you know you're one of the teams considered for the postseason. Athlon thinks that IU is going to end up playing Wake Forest in the Quick Lane Bowl, Detroit, Michigan, on December 26th, and so. From a national standpoint, it's obviously good to have that perception. I mean, they also projected IU to, you know, be a bowl team in 2017. Of course, you know, things changed a little bit when it ended up coming down to the regular season finale against Purdue, and IU ended up dropping that one. But nonetheless, like I said, it's good to be, you know, have that perception nationally, and then the fact that they're in consideration once again heading into you know, the upcoming season, I think, is definitely a highly regarded thing for this program.
Stu Jackson of Indiana Rivals with us today. One other non-basketball note to start off. Of course, a lot of momentum with the baseball hire, Jeff Bursar taking over Chris Lemonis' spot as he departs from Mississippi State. Kind of in that phase of getting the coaching staff together, getting the program set so he can put his print on it and hopefully move the program forward, I know is his plan. Word out this morning that he has hired a guy by the name of Dan Held as an assistant coach to be IU's recruiting coordinator, which, as you can imagine, is a big, big position when it comes to finding out who the next group of baseball Hoosiers will be. And Held, from what I read, has a great background in that. He's been executive director of the Indiana Bulls, which have for many years, I'm not involved with travel baseball, but I know their name just from their talent that they've had, professional players that they've had that, of course, went on to make the major league or minor league ranks. But I would think that, again, just on the surface, hiring someone that has been around that travel ball scene for years and years and years, and not just been on the scene, but been dealing with the top players in the state and at times even beyond the state's borders, has to be some real positives in that for the new IU baseball coach.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing you need to know about, you know, the Indiana baseball program is that, you know, they still heavily targeted in-state kids under Chris Lemonis while he was here. But when you go out and make a hire like this, at least according to D1Baseball.com's Kendall Rogers, you know, you're going to be getting someone who, as he said, has strong ties to the state of Indiana, the Indiana Bulls. You know, in my opinion, just from, you know, following it from afar, they're arguably the top travel program in the state of Indiana, and you know, they've had several talented players come through their program. So, you know, when you take all that into consideration, that only, you know, strengthens your relationship with, you know, the top prospects in the state, and perhaps even some of the high school coaches in the state. But just more than anything, it's someone who's going to, you know, help build those bonds and really enhance IU's profile in state when it comes to baseball.
We're talking with Stu Jackson. Stu is with Indiana Rivals, and you can read his work at thehoosier.com. Basketball recruiting, it starts tomorrow. Coaches will be on the road. There are a number of big events over the three periods in July that college coaches will just absolutely pack in. I'm not sure that any of them, though, are more exciting and more well-organized and well-done than the Nike Peach Jam, which is the EYBL finals, essentially, that will take place down south. I've got to believe, Stu, with the Indy Heat team that is comprised of Keon Brooks, Trace Jackson Davis, and others that Indiana is very interested in, I've got to believe that Archie Miller and assistant coaches, at least in this first window, will spend a lot of time at that Peach Jam event.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. With, you know, like you mentioned, with Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks, both five-star kids who are, you know, in the top 25, top 30 nationally in their class for 2019. You know, those are kids that they've been on for a long time. They play on, you know, Spies Indy Heat, which qualified for the Peach Jam. So they're going to be spending a lot of time around those guys. You know, they've made it clear for a long time, especially with Trace, that, you know, he's their top guy, and you know, they've shown how much they've wanted him. So, you know, Peach Jam will be the place to be, certainly for Indiana's coaches, but also many college coaches, as you mentioned, across the country. It's going to be a very, very competitive event. It's always a competitive event, and a lot of talented players are going to be there.
Stu Jackson, the Hoosiers of, excuse me, thehoosier.com with Indiana Rivals is our guest. DJ Carton, we've spent a lot of time this week talking about him. Obviously, Indiana in his final three. He seems to be a player that wants this recruiting process over sooner rather than later. Where will he be in this first period?
Yeah, so he doesn't play on any of the traditional you know, shoe circuits, so to speak. You know, the Nike circuit or the Adidas circuit or the Under Armour circuit. So tracking him, it's going to be kind of interesting. I know he's got a visit coming up to Ohio State. He's going to have an official visit there on, I believe it's Wednesday. And so, you know, with him, you know, that's coming right as the, you know, evaluation period tips off, the first July evaluation period. So rather than play this week, he's actually just going to, you know, take that visit and then jump in next week. And so, you know, that would be his third official visit. And of course, he's got a top three of Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio State. So, you know, everything seems to point to him wanting to wrap up his recruitment pretty soon, perhaps by the end of the summer with that, you know, with him having that final three in Ohio State, you know, this week being that final official visit. But, we'll kind of see what happens there. He's obviously a tremendously talented kid, great athleticism, and really high basketball IQ. So he'd be an awesome addition for IU. You know, they could really use a point guard like him. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that plays out here over the next couple of weeks.
Stu, can you recall the last time a player of Carton's status that is ranked nationally, ranked high nationally, getting the college attention that he's gotten, even though he's cut his list to three? I know it. You know, he'd gotten some calls from even the Dukes and the North Carolinas of college basketball, the Kansases as well. When's the last time a kid like that didn't play on one of these major shoe circuit teams that was going to be at all the big deals in July? That's a little different.
Yeah, I guess the only thing that comes to mind, and that's a great question, Matt. The only thing that comes to mind for me is the summer of 2016, I want to say, when I was you know, watching Musa Diallo play. You know, he is a Bloomington North standout, someone who was recruited by the previous IU staff and had been in touch with Archie and his staff before they decided to go in a different direction. But you know, he was you know, kind of under the radar a little bit, but he had a really big summer in Las Vegas, actually, and that helped him, you know, land several offers, including Ohio State, which is obviously where he is now. But he didn't make as big of a jump as Carton did. They both played on the NY2LA circuit, excuse me. And so, you know, as far as maybe just a jump on a, you know, non-major shoe circuit, you know, that's the, I guess, the comparison I would make. But again, I can't really remember someone who's made as big of a leap as he has as far as Carton, from being, you know, relatively unknown to suddenly vaulting into the top, you know, 35 and garnering all this interest.
How do you gauge Indiana's ability to land Carton? Obviously, they're in a good spot being in the final three of schools that he's considering. His official visit to Indiana came right after his first official, which was to the campus of Michigan. Any word out there, any feeling you have on Indiana's chance to land him? Because as you said, I would be surprised if he didn't end it by the end of the summer, just how, based on how quick this thing is coming down and he's cut his list and some of the comments I know his mother has made to some of the media out in Iowa. It would be a little surprising to me if he took it very far past the summer.
Yeah, no, I think Indiana's got a very good chance of landing him. You know, he's also, you know, been heavily recruited by Ohio State and Michigan as well. I think if you're Indiana, the one thing that, you know, you could perhaps sell Carton on is the fact that, you know, as of right now, you know, the only true point guard that they have on the roster is Robert Phinisee, an incoming freshman. And, you know, so I don't know, I guess, how they would incorporate, you know, because he kind of has a similar playing style to Phinisee. I don't know if, you know, they would necessarily pitch to him that, you know, he would be a starter. But, you know, you could, you know, probably, you know, convince him that, you know, there's definitely an opportunity for playing time, you know, for you if you chose to come here. But, yeah, I mean, as you said, you know, just with this visit coming up and just how everything's shaping up, it doesn't seem like, you know, this recruitment will go much farther than, you know, the, you know, after he takes the official visit to Ohio State. So, you know, he appears to be, you know, close to reaching a decision with him taking his last official visit here. But who knows? I mean, one day these kids, you know, will say they've got, you know, a top five or something. And then the next thing, you know, that top five changes and some schools are removed and new schools are added. So recruiting is always a very fluid situation. So you never know. But again, you think that it's getting down to the wire here, and he's pretty close to making a decision.
Yeah, absolutely. Stu Jackson of Indiana Rivals, thehoosier.com, with me on the program today. Let's think about some of the younger players for just a moment. I saw that Anthony Leal of Bloomington South has popped into a top 100 by one of the services. I think he's in the top 125 on the Rivals rankings for his class. There are some other names, Trey Galloway, even locally, Trey Coleman down at Jeffersonville in that 2020 class. But whether it's 2020 or even lower, names that you won't be surprised to see IU coaches at some of their early games in this first period in July that have kind of emerged, at least to you, as top targets for players below the 2019 class.
Yeah, in 2020, I would say definitely Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal, not only because they're teammates with Indiana Elite in their 2020 club, but you know, they're also guys that, you know, IU's coaching staff has kept its eye on for quite some time. When I talked to Trey Galloway last month, he said that IU has told him that they plan on watching him in July. You know, I would expect Michigan State even to watch him because they just offered him last month as well. So I would expect at least those two schools to be keeping an eye on him here as the evaluation periods open up. And, you know, more than anything, you know, it'll probably be those two. Don't be surprised if they're also keeping tabs on Ethan Morton. He's a top 50 guard/forward. Who's 6'5", 180 pounds from the Butler, Pennsylvania area. He's a guy that, you know, IU's coaching staff was first to offer in 2020. And so I imagine that, you know, they'll also be keeping tabs on him and then seeing how he performs here over the next 3 weeks.
One of the interesting developments, talking about young players in the state, I meant to mention this earlier in the program and I haven't, but we kind of bragged a little bit following the team camp Archie Miller had about a player named Kamari Lands, who is going to be a freshman. He played with Indianapolis Cathedral this summer, and it appeared was going to attend school there and go on perhaps to have a great high school career. Early, the thoughts are he's got a chance to be a really, really good player coming out of the state of Indiana, and it was announced yesterday that he is not going to be at Cathedral for his freshman year of basketball. He's a member of the 2022 class, but instead he will head north to LaPorte for the La Lemire, I guess, elite high school team, whatever you want to call it. It's a different situation from your regular four-year high school, so he will not be in Indianapolis, and I'm really disappointed, Stu, at least for guys like you and I that cover high school basketball and recruiting closely, that we may not see him as much at La Lemire than you will playing for a Cathedral or a regular high school in the state, because he has a chance, I think, no matter where he's at, to be a very, very special player.
Yeah, he's also a tremendously talented kid and someone who will be one of the top players in the state in the 2022 class. You know, the decision, you know, I guess was a little surprising to me. I mean, Cathedral is still a tremendous program, tremendous school as far as, you know, just the opportunities kids have there and, you know, the showcases that they play in during the season. Jason Blaney, who is the head coach there, he also coaches Armand Franklin, who, you know, has played really well under him. So, you know, it was a little surprising, but, you know, with these kids, you know, you don't always know, you know, what their decision-making or rationale is. Maybe he just felt like, you know, this was a better opportunity for whatever reason. I know La Lemire, you know, being a private school, they can probably play in more, you know, just with their setup, they can probably play in more national tournaments maybe compared to what Cathedral typically has as far as those opportunities go. But, you know, yeah, nonetheless, I think, you know, he'll still be a name to follow. You know, I'm interested to see how his career unfolds at La Lemire.
We're talking with Stu Jackson of Indiana Rivals. You can read his work at thehoosier.com. You know, back to the July period for a moment, it is such a grind, even for you and others that cover it. I mean, it just day after day, tracking the stories. College coaches, of course, they're hitting it really hard, in many cases crisscrossing the country trying to get to see certain prospects at certain times and make their presence known, and in other situations really trying to watch and evaluate players and find out exactly who is meant for their program. for a fan listening that love, and I know so many say, Matt, thanks so much for talking about the recruiting stuff. We love it. We don't have any other place to hear it on a daily basis. But I know a lot of these people that enjoy it and follow it, they've never been to some of it. They've never been through the grind. You have, from a media perspective. Talk about what it's like, what the grind is like for these coaches, these 3-5 day windows that can be really, really grueling.
Yeah, I mean, at least the first few days, you know, the games will start at, 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, and you know, some of them even tip off at 9 p.m. at night, and so you're not getting done until maybe 10 or 11 o'clock. So you're, logging 10, 12-hour days, just depending on, who all is in action that day, or who you're tracking, or who you're trying to get for interviews or do highlights, things like that, depending on who you are and, what your job is between, a reporter or a coach. But it's a pretty big grind. It's almost – nonstop, and as fun as it is, I also look forward to the plane rides home on Sundays when I get to catch up on some sleep a little bit.
Absolutely. Will you be at the Peach Jam, or where are you headed out to here in this first window?
Yeah, so we'll have a presence at Peach Jam. Jordan Wells, my colleague, who helps put content on the site, he's going to be there for us, and then we'll be out there over the next 2 weeks as well, just kind of splitting ourselves up and having a presence at these other events as well. I know I'll be in Las Vegas for all that will be happening there a couple weeks out from Wednesday. So a lot going on, a busy time for IU basketball recruiting. And, I'm sure it's an exciting time for, the fans and listeners, reading and hearing about it as well.
Absolutely. Stu Jackson, you can follow Stu at Stu, and help me there on your Twitter handle. I just lost it. How can they follow you on Twitter for all your updates?
At StuJTH is my handle on Twitter. And, of course, like you mentioned, it's all of our work appears on thehoosier.com, which is the rival site covering IU athletics.
Absolutely. Stu, great to reconnect with you here on the Hoosier Report. Thanks for all the information, and I know we'll talk again soon.
Absolutely. As always, thanks for having me, Matt. Appreciate
it. All right. Stu Jackson, thehoosier.com. We'll head to a commercial break, come back, and wrap things up for this Tuesday program. You're listening to The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
A basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back for a few moments to wrap things up here on this Tuesday program. Don't forget Lee Kelly, Tom Wendt, and I will be at the ballpark tonight. 5:30, the first game, 8 o'clock, the second game. This is an 11-year-old semifinals night at New Albany Little League in the District 5 tournament. New Albany will take on Silver Creek Little League at 5:30. Jeff GRC Little League will take on Highlander Youth Recreation Little League at 8 o'clock, so we'll be there for that. Have a great day. I'll see you tonight and be back tomorrow at 11 o'clock on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.